I know that in Hope Church, Port Perry, where I was for 12 years, we changed the liturgy a little bit, and we always kept a sermon right to the end. And so at this point, I would usually sit down and gather my thoughts and my heart, and I would enter into prayer, congregational prayer. We'd do some more singing, and I was just led a little bit more to that end of the service where I would do the sermon. And now all of a sudden I'm here, and it is sermon time. So you caught me unawares. You caught me off guard here a little bit. Some of you may have struggled a bit this week with deciphering the sermon title. I don't know if you read the bulletin, if it gets sent to you, or if you even bother to look at it when it comes into your email. Or maybe when you picked it up this morning on your way in. If you like cryptograms, this would not be much of a challenge. But if you did read the bulletin, then the Song of Response would have probably given it away, because it is the in-between. The in-between is the title of this morning's message, and hopefully you will understand what that means by the time I finish preaching it. If not, hire another guy. Before that happens, though, we will read the passage of Scripture that will guide the message, 1 Peter 2, 9 and 10. I have put it on the screen today. I think that's your usual practice. Now, I don't do that all the time because I'm always in trying to encourage people to take their Bibles to church. And many of you I've seen were already bowed in worship to your smartphone. So if your Bible is on your smartphone, that's fantastic as well. My wife got into trouble with one of our members before when she was on her smartphone, and someone told her to get off, and she had to point out that she takes notes on her phone. So, looking up the passage in your Bible helps you to become more familiar with your Bible, and then when you're called upon to use it during the week, you know where to find stuff. So it also allows you, I think, to make notes in the margin, and I think that's helpful because if you're like me, you forget a lot of things. So before we read, let's take a moment again to pray. Father, your word is unlike any other. It is holy, and your word, even as it speaks to us, it pierces our hearts and our minds. It knows us. It knows what each one of us needs. Amen. And so it's going to meet each one of us in the place where we're at. And so, Father, I ask that you work in our hearts, that you open our minds. If we're in a place of anxiety, then break through that. If we're in a place of tremendous joy, help us to read your word out of that place. Speak to us this morning, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hear now the words of 1 Peter 2, verses 9 and 10. 1 Peter 2, 9 and 10. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of the darkness into his wonderful light. And again, I want to stop there for a moment because I hope that you already see that place in between. Out of the darkness and into his wonderful light. Two places, and that space in between. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. This is the word of God to us this morning. The place of the in-between. Anna Marie and I have been in a place of in between in the last 6 months or so. It's been a blessing to be able to end one job and to take some time to breathe, to rest, to reconnect, to reflect, to visit family, to just to be able to do nothing for a while, although we did many things. We're in between jobs. We finished our work at Hope Church in Ontario at the end of May to start here at First on January 1st. We are in between homes. We have been living out of suitcases for 6-7 months. And that's fun for a week in Mexico, but it's less fun for 6 or 7 months. We've been both in Canada and the Netherlands and a few places in between. For those of you with kids, always be ready, here's my advice, to hear that knock on the door. Because my mom was quite surprised to see us move back in this October. Your kids are going to move back in when they're 50. And I stand in between, as your pastor today. I started on January 1st, but I have not been yet officially installed. That will happen next week. You are all invited. It's going to be a rocking service, I'm told. Now, it's also the case that in between doesn't just describe a place. More often than not, it refers to your state of mind or where your heart is at. It's the question you want answered when you meet a friend. And we have these greeting rituals. How are you? And fine, and then you go on. We don't even stop to listen to people answering that question, how are you? And so if you want to catch people and you say, but how are you? Have you ever done that? And then truly be ready to listen, and you will get a different answer than fine, thank you. If you're human, you're a bundle of often conflicting and competing thoughts and feelings. You often are standing in a place of in-between. And that's mostly okay. You don't have to have everything figured out. And in fact, I think that part of maturity is learning to lean on others, learning to lean into what puzzles you, and learning to live with more trust in the one who is most mysterious of all. Yes, God. Amen. Who can understand the ways of God? Who can understand his wisdom? Who can understand the way that he hears the prayers 7 billion people, should they bow down and pray to him? Is it 7 or are we up to 8? Is it 8?
Not quite.
Not quite. All right. Now, I think that any and every believing person is called to be a person of the in-between. It defines a God follower. It defines a person of faith to stand in between. It's who they are. Take Abraham, for example. Do you remember the story where Abraham steps in between? In between, get this, God Almighty and two cities full of people, Sodom and Gomorrah. It's Genesis chapter 18, if you we're not going to read that together. But it is a fascinating read. So this afternoon with a pot of tea, sit down and read Genesis 18. God is about to punish these cities for their wickedness. And then, would you believe it, Abraham steps in between. Imagine a pit bull. And imagine a little mouse. And that pit bull is about to pounce on that mouse. Which one of you is going to step in between. Any volunteers? I'm going to be the only one doing that? Now, again, it's any picture that you use of God is going to fall short, and I'm not trying to portray God as a pit bull, but I'm trying to picture for you that strength and that might of the pit bull compared to the mouse. God is about to wipe away Sodom and Gomorrah, and Abraham steps in between. What if, he says to God, there are 50 good people, righteous people, the Bible calls them, people right with God. What if there are 50 good people in the city? Will you really wipe it away and not spare the place for the sake of the 50 righteous people in it, he asks. And then he goes even a step further. Far be it from you to do such a thing. We're often afraid to approach God, and we have questions in our heart, and sometimes we're angry with God, and we've been told just to pipe down. Remember who you're speaking to. Well, the example we have from Abraham gives us permission, I think. Really, God, this is what you want to do, is in effect what Abraham is saying. Abraham challenges God by reminding him, the God of the universe, all-powerful and all-wise, reminding him, God, who he is. And if you know the story, then you'll know that Abraham does this not once, not twice, but 6 times. What if there's 45? Verses 40. Forgive me, Lord. Just forgive my impertinence. But what if it's 30? 6 times he dares to step over that line and push God to the limit. Have you ever asked your mom for a cookie? And then another cookie. And your mom is kind, so she says, sure, have another one. And the third time you say, can I have another one? 3. Can I have another one? Yeah, mom, just like maybe just one more. And mom, because you are just the absolute best ever, mom. You're the most awesome mom I've ever had. Can I have one more cookie? How many of you are going to get away with that? Now, mom, the worst she can do is slam the lid on the cookie jar, but God, maker of heaven and earth, the one who stands over life and death, Abraham is literally playing with, not only with the lives of the sinful cities of Sodom and Gomorrah, but he's also playing with his own life. Abraham dares to step in between. And God allows him to. Don't miss that point. God listens, and that too should teach us something. We can hold God accountable for who he is. You can speak to him, you can address him, you can throw your worst at him, and it's not going to break him down. Plead your cause, or that of someone else, and God will hear you. He understands the place of in between. This is what the Lord Almighty says, the prophet Zechariah. Administer true justice, show mercy and compassion to one another. Do not oppress the widow or the fatherless, the foreigner or the poor. Do not plot evil against each other. And the prophet Zechariah is standing in between and saying, you stand in between the people that need you and need God's mercy. And remember those good words of the prophet Micah, and I think a lot of the gems should know this, their gem theme some time back, was Micah 6 verse 8. He has shown you, O man, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you? You might even know these words. To act justly. Anybody? To love mercy and to walk humbly with your God. Stand in between people who need justice and who need the love of God. God sends his prophets repeatedly to remind his people of who they are and of what he calls them to do, to stand up and to stand in between. You, my people, are the people of in between. Israel, the nation of Israel, wasn't God's final end. Israel was God's means to an end because he wanted to bless all people. He wanted Israel to stand in between so that all nations could be blessed. You people of First CRC, you know God. God is living in your heart, and you stand in a special place. You stand in a space of in between so that those out there who don't know him can also come and sit in this place. And if not in this place, then in a place like this. A place where they can meet and know God. And if you know the story of Israel, then you also know how it ends. It doesn't end well. Israel flails and it flounders in her task of standing in between. And time and time again, they forget who they are and they live no differently than the nations around them. They forget to stand up for what is right and forget to stand in the hard place of the in-between. And then the prophet Ezekiel speaks for God to say what has become all too obvious. I looked for a man among them, among Israel, who would stand in the gap on behalf of the land so I would not have to destroy it like I destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. But I found none. No one who is able or willing to stand in between the pit bull and the mouse. Like you. None of you volunteered for that job. Enter book two, sometimes called the New Testament. There are some people who start with the New Testament and who only read the New Testament. The problem is that they have never really understood why Jesus came to do what he did. Because if they haven't read the story of Israel, if they hadn't understood that Israel failed and floundered and fell time and time and time and time and time again, then you don't really understand why Jesus had to come. And there are other people who start with the Old Testament and who never read the New Testament because they put the book down before they get there. If you start in the Old Testament, in Genesis, by the time you hit Leviticus or Numbers, have you ever done that? Have you done read through the Bible in a year? When you hit those spots, you think, oh. Or they get tired of reading about the murder and the mayhem. They get tired of Israel's failings. They wonder. I've had people tell me, well, I read about all kinds. I read about rape and murder, and I'm tired of it, and wars, and people going out, and all in the name of God, I forget it. And I put the book down. They wonder what kind of God would love such a people. What kind of God would promise the world to such wretched people like Israel? And I can't say I blame them. I've thought that myself. Yes, your pastor. And then there are those people who may not have read much of the Bible at all, or if they have, they didn't really get it, because the Bible is a difficult book. Now, you can get it, you can get the message of love and the love of Jesus for you, but there's a lot of stuff in the Bible that's hard, isn't it? Hard to understand and certainly hard to follow. I heard someone say once that if you have two people who are discussing the Bible, you have three opinions about what it says. Here's something for us to consider seriously, and I want you to listen. I want you to hear this. For more and more people today, the only understanding they have of the Bible is through the people who claim to believe in it. People who call themselves Christians, who gather in places called church. They are the people who stand for them in between the world in which they live and the possibility of something more, in between how they live and what they are told is a better life. Now the question is, when people look at the church, and let me make it more personal, when they look at First CRC Edmonton, what do they see? Do they see a people of the in-between? Do they see people who stand up, who step in, and who stand in between? Do they see people who live rightly and love fully? Do they see an example they would want to follow? Amen. Or do they simply see another version of Israel? People floundering and failing. People who forget who they are, indistinguishable from any others that they see every day on the street. Or even worse, people who say one thing and do another. Hypocrites, they're called. Yet who present themselves as holier than thou and somehow better. Because what is true of both Israel and the church, Old and New Testament, is that the call to be a people of the in-between is real, for them as it is for us. And as a people of the in-between, all eyes are on you. I had a feeling this morning that when I walked in as pastor, everybody was like eager, wondering what this guy was going to be like. So I had this sense of, I'm standing on a stage, I'm standing in a glass house. And I'm glad not many of you know where my house is yet, because you might be peeking in the windows. What is this guy like? Well, welcome to the club. Because that's what people are doing when they look at First CRC. You are sitting in a glass, a structure. And people are saying, I wonder what they are like. Because when you try to do what is right and righteous, there will be many voices of critique, and you will discover very quickly, as Israel did, that we never quite get it right. Let me repeat that. And we will discover very quickly that we never quite get it right. Why don't you say that? We never quite get it right. And when you stand in that place, then you're at a starting point of being ready to stand in between. Because we need Jesus just as much they need Jesus. Because we are as broken as everyone else. And the example we set, good at the best of times when things are really working for you, you can be a pretty good Christian. You can love people. You can embrace them. You can ignore people's faults and failures. But at the worst of times, we're all terribly flawed in dealing with others and the faults of others. Yes? We see that clearly in the history of Israel. But what we don't always see so clearly is that we are Israel. But then, Pastor, you wonder, what hope is there? And what chance do we have? What is the good news? And I'm glad you asked, because in between the Old and New Testament, and in between all the mess of the world and the messiness of this thing that we call church, stands Jesus Christ. Amen. He is the holy in-between. For there is one God, says the Apostle Paul to the church, and one mediator between God and people, the man called Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all people. It is Jesus who stands perfectly in between. He did what Abraham tried to do. He is the answer to the prophet Ezekiel's search for the one who would stand in the gap so that God would not have to destroy the world. He is the holy in-between who makes possible what ordinary people, whether Israel or the church, find impossible. Jesus, Savior, stands in between a sinful people and a holy God. And when this same Jesus, because here's where the rubber hits the road, when this same Jesus meets his disciples after he raises from the dead, remember, he finds them in his little room and they were afraid. The Jesus that they thought was God, they end up crucifying him and they put him in a tomb. And now they're sitting in a room and they say, was all this wrong? Were we wrong to believe in this man named Jesus? And Jesus breaks through after his resurrection. He appears in his room. The disciples are fearful. And do you remember what he says to them? Peace be with you. Now, those are beautiful words, but he doesn't stop there. He says, next, as the Father has sent me, I think you can finish this sentence, I am sending you. And with that, you know what he did then? He breathed on them. And what came to rest on the disciples at that moment was his Spirit, the Holy Spirit. He breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. And what is the result of that? Listen carefully. These are Jesus' words. I'm not making this up. If you forgive anyone his sins, they are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven. You, my disciples, empowered by my Spirit, are the people of the in-between. Amen. Jesus, the holy in-between, empowers God's people, his followers, the church, to continue the work of standing in between. Amen. And that is how we are to understand the verses that we read at the beginning of the message. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession. Simply put, you are the people of the in-between. Don't be afraid. Go and stand in between, turning judgment to joy, duty to dancing, hate to hope, sadness to song, despair to delight, pain to passion, and death to life. In your school, kids, listen up. Reach out to your classmate who is always being bullied, who is never included. You can stand in between. As parents, continue to pray for your children who have walked away from the faith or from the church. You stand in between. At work, dare to speak up when the language used scorches your ears. In a broken relationship, humble yourself and make an approach that may open the door for reconciliation, for healing. In your church, stand in between opposing views and differing opinions with grace and with humility. And as a church, as First CRC Edmonton, let us pray earnestly for direction to discern how we are to be a place and a people of the in-between. Amen. In this neighborhood and with each other. Amen. To end today's message, something a little different. I usually end with a prayer. Today I'm going to end with a song. We're going to listen to a song by Matt Mayer called The In-Between. Now, it's a new song. You probably won't know it. Feel free to sing if you are that courageous or hum along. Otherwise, just let God speak to you, to your heart as you listen.
From death to life, from darkness to shine, from fear to a peace I can't explain. From doubts to a hope, holding on and letting go of all the empty promises of shame. This is my song. One way, but now I'm different. There was a clear change in a holy collision. Who I was and who I'll forever be, and He was the in between. From orphan to a child, from a stone running wild. From a seed in the ground to breaking out. From a mess to a mess. A blessing to a blessing. A sea of failures bearing testimony. This is my soul. Say you've not forsaken me. You're the first and the last, my future and my past, who I was and who I am.
Time for